Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew. I'll be reading from the second chapter. If you would, please stand as you are able from the reading from the Gospel. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, this morning may the words of my mouth, indeed may the meditation of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I'm excited to begin a new sermon series for the month of January. It's about new beginnings, so it's a great time to do that as we begin a new year and as we think about the different kinds of new beginnings that we have in our life and our walk with Christ. And so today we're going to be looking at especially that very last verse of this scripture where the wise men returned by a different route, a new road, a new way, and what that means. Because you see, another Christmas, it's come and gone. It's Epiphany Sunday, where we talk about the visitation of the wise men, and it's the very last of the birth stories. And it's not even actually a birth story, because we know that this happened sometime between Jesus's birth and about age 2. We know that because of the verses that come following this one, about what Herod does with the infants in Bethlehem. But we also know he's living in a house at this point. He's no longer at the manger. The Magi visit in a house. And so it is that for us, the decorations here will be put up after today. We like to leave them up in the sanctuary until Epiphany, until the visitation by the Magi. But how many of you still have your decorations up at your house? Okay, we got a few Epiphany people here, or is it June people? I mean, is it just Epiphany, or is it just, really, really, be honest. Well, our decorations have been put away. I generally like to do it the very day after Christmas. I missed it by about 3 or 4 days, but we put them up this past Friday. And so the decorations have come and gone. Christmas is all over but the paying of the bills. Or is it? Because you see, we may be done with Christmas, but the question for us this morning is Christmas done with us? And so we look at this story of the wise men and when they came and what they did and how they left and how they worshiped and what does that have to do with us so many years later? We don't really know a whole lot about these wise men or magi. Matthew's gospel is the only gospel that even mentions them. We do know that they came from the east, that they came from far away. They were not Jewish. They were sort of a blend between scientist, philosopher, mathematician, economist, theologian, all rolled into one. And they studied the stars. They studied a lot of things. They advised kings and rulers and business people. And they were astrologers. And so it is that the star got their attention. And because of what they knew that that star meant, that it meant the birth of a king, because they were research-oriented folks, they went to go and check this out. And they traveled extensively to get there. We know they traveled probably at least for weeks, and it could have been for longer than that. And they came to the logical place. If they felt like a king had been born in the land of Judah, they went to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. That's a logical place. And there they sought out Herod, and they said, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews?" The only problem is there was already a king. His name was Herod, and he was a really paranoid guy. He got to rule over this land of Israel under the authority of the Romans, and so it was always sort of this tenuous place of ruling, and you were judged by how you kept the people in line. And Herod was a really paranoid king, always wanting to make sure he had his power. He once had his entire family slaughtered because of his fear that someone, one of those, may want to get him and dethrone him, and so he killed his entire family. We also know that he was really paranoid by the verses that come after the verses that I shared with you this morning. Starting at about verse 16, we read that when the wise men did not come back to Herod, that he ordered the slaughter of all children ages 2 and under in the area around Bethlehem. This man indeed was paranoid. When he was asked where the king of the Jews would be born, Herod went and asked the religious rulers. Now, it's not really surprising to me that Herod, a ruler, might not be so excited about another king that had been born because of what that might threaten his own rule. But it is surprising to me that when the religious leaders were asked of where is the Savior, where is the Messiah to be born, where is the King of the Jews to be born, they consulted their scriptures, they looked at the prophet, they saw that it was to be born in Bethlehem, and they gave their answer, and then as far as we know, they just went on about their life. They didn't follow the wise men to go see this Savior that had been foretold for centuries, that they were so excited about and waiting for. It didn't seem as though his birth meant anything at all to them. And to me, that was surprising. But the wise men went on, and they went into the house, and they found the baby Jesus and his mother Mary. Presumably, Joseph has already gone back to work as a carpenter. And they found him in a house. And we're told in Scripture that they were overwhelmed with joy, that they knelt and that they worshiped this newborn king, and that they gave him expensive gifts from their treasure chests. They gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold, the gift that is a gift for a king. And frankincense, that incense that you offer up to God, and myrrh, that ointment with which you embalm bodies. What an interesting assortment of gifts they gave. How prophetic. Then we're told they were warned in a dream not to return to King Herod. And so they went by another road back home. They went a new way. And I believe that's both geographically true and internally true. They were changed by their encounter with the newborn Christ. And so it is that, like the wise men, we come to Christmas. We also, if you are here on Christmas Eve, it is such a beautiful experience of coming to worship and to honor the birth of the Christ child. Maybe you and your own family at home have a tradition of, before Christmas presents are opened on Christmas morning, I know a lot of folks read the Luke 2 description of the birth of Jesus, but we come to Christmas to worship and to honor the birth of the Christ child. Now, maybe we don't have to travel as far or as dangerously or as expensively as the wise men did, but we travel and we come and worship the Christ. We somehow manage to fit Christmas into our busy schedule every year. Like the wise men, we come bearing gifts. There is something about Christmas that brings out the generosity of the heart for almost everyone. It isn't really just even for Christians. Folks around Christmas time are more generous with themselves and with their resources to each other, to other people, and to charities. But here's the question. When Christmas is over, do we just return to our lives just as they were? Or do we see the invitation to walk by another road, to walk in a new way? Do we leave our old self behind and travel as new people as a result of our encounter with the birth of Christ? Well, the good thing is, you know, we have the calendar on our side. We get to flip over the calendar to a brand new year, leaving the old behind, starting the new. I don't know if any of you have the same sort of a fun habit that I have, which is I really enjoy taking the old calendar off the wall, getting a nice new calendar and writing in all the different months of birthdays or important things that are coming up, and then hanging the new calendar up on the wall. It's fresh, it's a new start. New Year's is a great time, and many people look at their lives. There's something about moving into this new year. We look at our lives and we go, what do we want to leave behind in 2018? And what do we want to bring into the new year? Some folks make New Year's resolutions, some make personal or business goals that are coming into the new year. We're invited into the new year to walk a new way. Currently, one of the books that I'm reading is a book by Ben Sasse. He's a U.S. senator from Nebraska. He's an author, a professor. The book is titled Them, Why We Hate Each Other and How to Heal. What a provocative title. When I saw that, I thought, I really need that book. I really want to read that. It's by Ben Sasse. I've had people after each service say, what was the name of that book? So let me just say it again. There's a place to make notes on your little sermon notes on the bulletin. Them by Ben Sasse. Why We Hate Each Other and How to Heal. It is a social commentary on the United States and on the deep divisions that we have. And how it is that the sense of community that many of us grew up in from generations ago has begun to disappear. And he traces that through the differences in jobs, you know, the moving from a manufacturing culture to different kind of culture, but also just the falling out of people who are born into a community, who are raised in that same community. You know all your neighbors. You go to church with the same people. You see the same people at the store. You maybe work with the same people. And that becomes your community. And that's really changed over the last, you know, 30, 40 years. And how that sense of erosion of community. He talks about job changes. So we're in the, you know, in the generations before, you know, it was more typical for a person to maybe work at the same company for like 2.5 decades. And that today that's more like, oh, maybe 4 years in the same place. And so where your identity may have been in this company where you were and this loyalty, that's changed. So he makes all kinds of comments about the way that we're changing and how it is that the community then begins to change, and that sense of being rooted and grounded. And what he says is that sense of community has changed into, for many people, a sense of being rootless and adrift. And instead of all those bonds of work and family and neighbors and community that once held, he calls us tribes, you know, those were your tribe, that those folks that you were affiliated with and did a lot of things with, as that has gone away, we have developed what he calls anti-tribes, groups that instead are held together simply by rallying against some common enemy of ideology. You seen any of those anti-tribes? And he says the mistrust of institutions and mistrust of other people rules the day now. Now for Sassy, he frames this social problem of the day in this way. He calls it a deep loneliness of the soul. Not a political issue, it is an internal issue. And here's part of his solution. What he writes, he says, America wants you to be happy, but more urgently, America needs you to love your neighbor and connect with your community. Fixing what's wrong with the country depends on it. Strong words. Let's see. Love your neighbor, connect with community. Have we heard anything like that before? Love your neighbor. Maybe that would be in the Bible. Maybe that was Jesus that said that. It is a radical idea for our time, but it's an idea that we have had for millennia. This new way that we're asked to respond, to walk with in response to our encounter with Jesus is actually the same way that God has invited those who are God followers to behave for millennia. And it means loving God, and it means loving others, not just with our mouth or how we feel in our heart, but friends, with our lives. And the church, the gathering of people who are walking in this new way in Jesus, the church should be the greatest example of that kind of a community that there is. And we need the witness of this collective body of Christ to remind us and to remind those who are losing hope, who are experiencing loneliness of the soul around us, that there is a new way, that we can, in fact, choose to walk a new road. Not simply railing against some perceived ideological enemy, but walking shoulder to shoulder and hand in hand, sharing life, working together to share the love and the grace and the forgiveness and the purpose that is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ and supported by this community, the church. Friends, in our divided times, it is this place, this group of people that have the amazing opportunity to model for our society what it means to walk in a new way, what it means to actually love each other, no matter if they agree with you. And I have to tell you how it breaks my heart in the church when I see the church and church folk behaving differently. When there's no difference between a person who professes to follow Jesus the Christ and walk in this new way and still spout the same poison that the culture does. Friends, it should not be so. We are invited into a new way. There are many eyes on the United Methodist Church right now. For those of you who haven't been Methodist for a long time and maybe don't understand about the whole General Conference and all the events that are coming up, bless you. You'll be hearing more about that. I'll speak more about that as we get closer to February 23rd. But friends, how it hurts my heart when even in the church we focus around what we disagree about, call other people, even non-Christians or the enemy, with our words because of ideological beliefs. Friends, it should not be so in the church. We have an opportunity to model how to disagree with other people about deeply felt beliefs and yet to model love and care for each other, to sit in the same pews, to work in the same committees, to do the same mission work, and to be the church. Because when we don't do that, that just adds fuel to the fire of the culture that says they are no different than we are. Why should we place our trust and hope in an institution that isn't doing what we believe Christ asked him to do? So that part of the sermon's over here. We may be done with Christmas is the point, but Christmas is not done with us. Not until we're ready to go home by a new way, another road, to walk a new way. Praise be to God, we have the perfect time to start that journey. It's a new year, and always a wonderful time to start again. As a matter of fact, today we're going to gather at the common table. We are going to be in Christ's presence through the sacrament of Holy Communion. You are going to come and receive the body and the blood of Christ. Will you leave the communion table the same? Will you leave that encounter with Christ in a new way, by a new road, resolving to walk in a new way in 2019? Friends, I pray it is so for you. I pray it is so for me. Will you pray with me? Holy God, Lord, we ask that you would show us where you are calling us to walk in a new way. We confess to you that so much of the time in 2018 we have slipped, we have fallen, we've been careless with our words and with our actions. Help us to be changed by our encounter with our living Lord in the communion table today, that we may leave a new people devoted to following the way of Christ into a world that is waiting and watching to see if it makes a difference, this Christ following. We pray in his name. Amen.